From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls for Nusantara Capital City Project to be supported for acceleration of Kalimantan's development. Governor of National Defense Institute recommends tin as national strategic commodity. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has called on all parties to work jointly to support the new Capital City Nusantara Project in East Kalimantan as a gate to accelerate development in the island. As reported by Antara in a joint prayer of the Malay Banjar community in Tabalong District, South Kalimantan on Friday, he also noted that the new capital project is part of the efforts to equalize national development with the focus to shift from Jawa-centric to Indonesia-centric development. Governor of the National Defense Institute of Indonesia, Andi Wijayanto, has recommended that tin from Bangka Belitung Islands province to be designated as a strategic commodity to boost national economic growth. As quoted by Antara after the 2023 Long-Term Study Focus Group discussion themed Returning Tin into a Strategic Mineral in Order to Secure Control of Mineral Assets in Pangkal Pinang on Friday, he decided to recommend tin as a strategic commodity to President Joko Widodo. He further said that designating tin as a strategic commodity is to make Indonesia one of the world's major tin players. Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Yuda Agung, has said that the bank will optimize the role of pesantren or Islamic boarding schools in the development of strategic food commodities to support national food security. He said at the 2023 East Java Food Inflation Control National Movement on Friday that Bank Indonesia will also encourage pesantren to become centers of development for strategic food commodities. Bank Indonesia or the central bank is implementing the Integrated Farming with Technology and Information program to develop technology-based horticultural cultivation infrastructure. Indonesia and Singapore have committed to following up on the Flight Information Region Agreement. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi revealed it after accompanying President Joko Widodo to a bilateral meeting with Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong at the Singapore Presidential Palace, as quoted by Antara on Friday. Minister Sumadi also conveyed his ministry has completed the ratification of the agreement. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. China's President Xi Jinping will travel to Moscow next week to hold talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. As reported by BBC.com, the Kremlin stated they would discuss a comprehensive partnership and strategic cooperation. The visit comes as Beijing, an ally of Russia, has offered proposals to end the war in Ukraine, to which the West has given a lukewarm reception. Western countries have warned Beijing against supplying Moscow with weapons. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan went to court to support a plea he made to halt a police operation to arrest him for failing to attend a hearing in the city of Lahore. Imran Khan was ousted from office in a parliamentary vote early last year. Since then, Khan, 70 years old, has been demanding a snap election and holding protests across the country. He was shot and wounded at one of those rallies. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. First news comes from Ambon, Maluku. The provincial government of Maluku initiated an independent stunting and tuberculosis care village, which was built by the Maluku Community Lung Health Center in Kataloka Village, Gorom Island District, Eastern Seram Regency, to suppress new cases. Maluku Parenting Ambassador Widya Pratiwi Murat, through a media briefing in Ambon on Thursday, said this activity was carried out in Kataloka Village considering the high prevalence of TB cases. The high prevalence of TB cases there. The next news comes from Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Kalteng Bank facilitated dozens of micro, small, and medium enterprises to participate in the 2023 Tambun Bungai Festival, which took place from March the 15th to 19th in Palangkaraya. Director of Marketing and Business of Kalteng Bank, Marzuki, in Palangkaraya Thursday said, 41 micro, small, and medium enterprises get this facility to expand their business in the future, strengthen business image, and increase market reach. Furthermore, in the future, the bank will also focus on increasing productive credit for the community, especially micro, small, and medium enterprises players. This is in line with the wishes of the Governor of Central Kalimantan, Sugianto Sabran, so that the development of micro, small, and medium enterprises can continue to be stimulated and improved in order to support regional economic growth. The last news comes from Biak District, Papua. The National Population and Family Planning Agency inaugurated the first fertility clinic at the Biak Numfor Regional General Hospital in Biak Regency, Papua on Wednesday. Quoted from Antara, head of the agency Hasto Wardoyo in Jakarta, Thursday said that the National Population and Family Planning Agency encouraging the creation of quality families. According to him, fertility clinics are health services to help married couples who experience infertility or health services for couples who had difficulty having children. The inauguration of the clinic is not only aimed at improving health services for couples, but also in the framework of accelerating the reduction of stunting and intensifying socialization of the family development, population, and family planning program. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event of March 18, 1913 about the birth of Reinhard Hardegen. Korveten Kapitan Reinhard Hardegen was born in Bremen, Germany on March 18, 1913. He was a U-boat commander who sank 22 ships with a total dead weight of about 115 gross registered tons. That made him the 24th most successful submarine commander of the Second World War. He never overtly supported the Nazis. After the war, Reinhard Hardegen served as a British prisoner of war before founding a successful oil company and being a member of the Bremen Parliament for over 32 years. Hardegen dreamed of becoming a sailor in the Navy. After graduating high school, he joined the Reichsmarine as a cadet, sailing around the world on the light cruiser Karlsruhe in 1933. Let's move to another event in 1942 when Prince Musa Ardikesuma became the full ruler of the civil government. Prince Musa Ardikesuma was appointed as Rizi, the full and supreme ruler of the civil government, who was appointed by the announcement of the head of Dai Nippon Army in Banjarmasin, Kalimantan on March 18, 1942. His powers govern over the areas of Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, Hulu Sungai, South Kalimantan, and Kapuas Barito in Central Kalimantan. Prince Musa Ardikesuma became Rizi in 1942 until 1945. We end today in history with the event of March 18, 1990, when the theft of works at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Two men who were posing as police officers forced their way into the museum and seized paintings worth more than $500 million. Some of the stolen paintings included Jan Vermeer's The Concert, The Storm on the Sea of Galileo Rembrandt, and A Lady and Gentleman in Black, and Govard Flink with Obelisk. The theft case is a mystery. In 2013, the United States Federal Investigators, or FBI, said they had solved a decade-old mystery about who stole the art. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
hujan kini telah berhenti. Dan diiringi sinar mentari, dingin juga tiada lagi. Hangat terasa di sanubari, datang dan pergi. Pergi dan datang lagi.
Begitulah hidup ini.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 475 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia encourages ASEAN region become a center for world economic growth. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, stated that the ASEAN region has sufficient capital to become a center for world economic growth. In the closing speech at the virtual DBS Asian Insight Forum 2023 in Jakarta Wednesday, March 15, he explained that with gross domestic product reaching $3.36 trillion in 2021, ASEAN could become the fifth largest economic region in the world. This is also supported by the total population in the ASEAN region, which reaches more than 650 million people. Quoting a press release from the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, the level of ASEAN trade with partner countries has also grown significantly, reaching 34% in the last decade. Meanwhile, the value of foreign investment entering ASEAN in 2021 reached $176 billion, with the highest growth in the financial and insurance sector, which is 32%. In terms of inflation, the majority of ASEAN countries are also below the global inflation level in 2022. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained that Indonesia, as chair of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN 2023, has determined 16 priority economic deliverables divided into three strategic thrusts, namely recovery rebuilding, digital economy, and sustainability. Meanwhile, Indonesia's main strategy to increase economic integration and strengthen competitiveness in realizing ASEAN as a center of economic growth is carried out, among others, through digital transformation, that is, by expanding local currency transactions and QRIS or Quick Response Indonesian Standard and accelerating digital economic framework agreement negotiations. Coordinating Minister Erlangga also revealed that to encourage the improvement of these achievements, ASEAN needs to take advantage of various economic cooperation in the region, both in the form of ASEAN Plus One, FTA or Trade Agreement, and a Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which was initiated by Indonesia in 2011. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership has created a new economic power with the potential to make it a competitive industrial-based region in the world. Furthermore, by strengthening connectivity through increasing air and sea connectivity, encouraging the realization of the ASEAN power grid, and increasing food security through strengthening ASEAN supply chain and logistics system. According to Erlangga, there needs to be cross-sector collaboration to ensure food security in the region while building a strengthening mechanism for the early warning system. The acceleration of the sustainability agenda is also realized through the development of trans-ASEAN renewable energy sourced from solar and hydro, electric vehicle ecosystems, and the regional blue economy framework. In addition, Indonesia also has a vision to encourage sustainable regional development through the ASEAN Indo-Pacific Forum. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto further said that the forum would invite public, private, and global sector participation in various projects in the region that support green infrastructure, strengthen supply chains, digital transformation, and the creative economy, as well as innovative and sustainable financing. That was My Indonesia Today.
Thank you.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder highlights waterfall of Cipanas Nagrak in West Java. Bandung Regency is not only well known as a fashion city, but also as a repository of beautiful natural tourism destinations. It is because the Bandung area is surrounded by mountains. The existence of Mount Tangkuban Perahu, Bandung, is able to create more than one hot spring tourism spot, such as the famous hot spring bed, namely the Chiatar Hot Spring. But now there has been a hot spring bed which is no less beautiful in the tourism area of Lembang, Northern Bandung, namely the Nagrak Bathing Tour, or more often called Curug Cipanas Nagrak Kancah Bandung West Java. Listener, Cipanas Nagrak Waterfall is a waterfall with warm sulfur sourced from Mount Tangkuban Perahu. Administratively, this waterfall is located in two villages, namely Nagrak Village, Lembang Subdistrict, Sukajaya Village, and Kancah Village, Parongpong District. Curug Cipanas is a waterfall which is not too high. The splash of water forms a waterfall, and the pool below, which is deemed to be a hot spring bathing. This Cipanas Nagrak waterfall has turquoise water bathing. Listener, because of the sulfur content, the hot water at Curug Cipanas Nagrak is believed to be able to cure various skin diseases and also nourish the body. When bathing, you can put things safely in the luggage storage area. While bathing, you can also enjoy the beautiful scenery. You will feel the sensation of soaking in the comfortable hot pool in the middle of nature. At the area, you can also set up a tent and enjoy snacks made by local residents that can shake your tongue. Listener, if you are in West Java, please take the time to visit Curug Cipanas Nagrak Kancah, which is about 17 kilometers from Bandung City. Soaking in hot water will be able to relieve your fatigue. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu, berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu kusyukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Kemari dan tertawa. cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersama dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Setelah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku, sudilah kau menjadi temanku, sudilah kau menjadi.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, one of festivals from Riau, Sumatra Island, Indonesia, included in Karisma Event Nusantara 2023 is Paju Jalur Festival. Karisma Event Nusantara is a series of qualified events from all provinces in Indonesia, while Paju Jalur is a rowing race on the river using a longboat made of tree wood. The length of this boat can reach from 25 to 40 meters, and the width of the middle is from 1.3 meters to 1.5 meters. In the local language, the word jalur means boat. At first, Pacu Jalur was held in villages along the Kuantan River to commemorate Islamic holidays. This year, before the fasting month of Ramadan, Pacu Jalur Festival is held precisely in Kuantan Singingi area. In accordance with the 2023 Kuansing Tourism Calendar, the agenda is held at the Pianyur Melambai, Sikakak Village, Cerenti District on March 17 to the 19, 2023. This is the first Pacu Jalur to be held this year. Unlike previous years, Pacu Jalur in 2023 is held at the regional or sub-district level. After Pacu Jalur in Cerenti District, Pacu Jalur 2023 will continue in other sub-districts after the Eid al-Fitr holiday, starting from Inuman, Pangean, Benai, Central Kuantan, Gunung Toar to Hulu Kuantan districts. Pacu Jalur is more than just who is the fastest to reach the finish line. This competition contains philosophy. A long journey starts with a group of people entering the jungle looking for a very old tree. Preparing replacement trees before cutting down trees will later be turned into a boat. This togetherness will continue when people work together to make the boat while accompanied by prayer and hope. It is this traditional procession that is entangled in the rituals of Menobang, Milo, and Mendiang Jalut. This is also the origin of Gulang-Gulang, a center which is the center for balancing roots. There will also be Lambai-Lambai, where the helmsman will burn the spirit. The boat may load to 40 to 60 people. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present you a keroncong song entitled Jangan Biarkan by Keroncong Nation. The song Jangan Biarkan was popularized by an Indonesian singer, Diana Nasution, which tells about feelings of love and do not want to be left behind. The song, which was composed by Hanito Hetero, was re-sung by Titi DJ along with Diana Nasution and released in 2010. This is Titi DJ's special offerings to her idol, Diana Nasution. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Nation with the song Jangan Biarkan. Enjoy!
Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.